It's time for Mitch Henderson, and Mitch has been off for a week having a good time. Glad to have you back, Mitchell. Welcome.
Good to be back.
All right. Since you've been gone, isn't there an old song like that? Since you've been gone. How does that song go?
I don't remember how it goes, but I know what your song you're talking about. Yeah. While you were gone, I think is what it says. Yeah.
My mother used to like that kind of music. God, I was tortured as a child. All right, anyway. So, what's going on in Bakhmut or Artyomovsk?
Well, I've done a lot of research on the current situation, and I've got quite a bit of information on what's going on there. It's a little bit more of a big picture, but I am going to address Bakhmut because it's important. So I'm going to talk now about the war in Ukraine. Okay. Today, you can see that Ukraine is starting to think strategically. Russia is going to move to the Dnieper River, but is keeping the bridges intact so they can move into West Ukraine. Yeah. Russia sees that the Ukrainian state on their border will mean endless strife if the Ukrainian state exists. It will never be an independent state because it has been an American puppet state since 2014. Ukrainian presidential elections are coming up, and Zelensky went to Congress to change the Ukrainian constitution so that he can be president for life of Ukraine.
another Zionist takeover. God, how many times have we seen this? Oh.
Yeah, and this is us supporting a democracy. You know, we're sending $120 billion over there to support democracy. Okay, of course, he will win the election because the Democratic Party of the United States rigs the elections for him. Zelensky made it a crime to say anything negative against Ukraine, even if it is true. And this is extraterritorial. Wherever you are, if you say something bad about Ukraine, you are guilty of this crime, and if they ever get a hold of you, they'll punish you. Whatever. But I'm not going to go to Ukraine, so who cares? So Russia has many issues with the Zelensky government, and I had an opportunity to kind of go over some of them with my sources. The first one is the cultural genocide in Ukraine of ethnic Russians and Hungarians. Ukraine is trying to assimilate all peoples in Ukraine to just Ukrainian, seeking to obliterate any other culture. This includes treating Russians as second-class citizens. This is regarded as a crime against humanity and a war crime under international law. Two, the destruction of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church to include arresting worshipers, imprisoning priests, seizing church bank accounts, seizing church property, and evicting the church. This is a crime against humanity and a war crime. Make no mistake about it, okay? Russian prisoners of war are murdered to harvest their organs for sale on the black market. Most Russian prisoners are handled this way. A few are kept for prisoner exchanges and to appear to be obeying the Geneva Conventions. Harvesting and selling the organs of prisoner of war is a war crime, according to the Geneva Conventions. Mm-hmm. Four, the Ukrainian soldiers that are wounded are also triaged to see if they can return to battle or at least be useful to the economy. Mm-hmm. If they require too much medical care, they will not be able to return to battle and will be a burden on society and the economy. They are killed and their organs harvested. This has become such a...
Mitch, excuse me. What do we think the average harvested body produces financially for the Zelensky government per body? What's it worth?
Per body, you're talking at least $500,000 per body.
That's what I thought.
Talking lungs, heart, liver, kidneys. I mean, it goes on and on, you know.
Yep.
So this has become such a big business that it inflates the Ukrainian killed in action rate. Ukraine must keep those numbers very secret because based on numbers alone, a criminal case can be made against the Zelensky government for selling harvested organs of Russian POWs, Ukrainian wounded in action, and organs harvested from Ukrainian civilians who are killed or wounded or are executed precisely to harvest their organs. This is big business there. Five, the Zelensky government is kidnapping citizens and sending them to the front to die. This includes boys and girls as young as 14 and men in their 50s and 60s who don't have the stamina to survive. Children under 14 are sold to pedophile rings to garner more foreign exchange for the Zelensky Zionist clique. Generally, these children can get up to $20,000 and stuff. So they're, you know, it's big business. In the same way, young, pretty women are sold to international prostitution rings. This is an official Ukrainian government activity. Full-grown women may only get $5,000 to $10,000 apiece for them. If you're not a pretty woman, you have to face the front lines, okay? It's
all
one
true.
Or the other.
Yep. All true.
Okay, so eight, all of this adds up to the crime against humanity called genocide, and the Russian people see that since Ukraine is a puppet state of the United States and an admitted proxy of the United States in the war with Russia, and because the American people are bankrolling this genocide completely, they insist that the American people will have to pay severely for this crime. This is really important. People in general don't want to see other people killed en masse. But this demonstrates that the Russian people are ready for nuclear war because they can see that it is imperative for world peace that not only should the United States leadership die, but the people whose tax money paid for this genocide of their people deserve massive death as well. They are mentally prepared while the West is in denial about the prospects of a nuclear war. They are ready for it. They are teaching their people to hate us, and for good reason. It's not an unreasoned hate. Okay, based on these factors, plus NATO General Secretary Jens Stoltenberg declaring last week that Ukraine will become a member of NATO and the EU, and that NATO will stand with Ukraine today, tomorrow, and as long as it takes. These all mean that Ukraine is intended to be forever enemy of Russia, and Russia, for its own long-term political and economic well-being, has no choice but to settle the issue once and for all, and that means Ukraine cannot be allowed to exist as an independent nation. Now, Russia has amassed 400,000 troops to do this invasion. They're ready
to go.
That's
really important. That's a very excellent summary. The reasoning is all there. The vile, hideous, satanic behavior of that Zionist regime that is running that country and has outlawed all opposition, politically speaking, and has now thrown out that, what the hell was it? A monastery full of monks, Christian monks.
Yes.
They boosted all the Christian monks out, and they've succeeded. Zelensky and his other Zionist pals have succeeded in liquidating the flower of Ukrainian manhood. And they possibly up to 400,000 who have been killed in the military war against Russia. That's 400,000 fewer people who might take up arms against the Zionists who are running the country into the sewer of history.
Exactly. Ukraine, being aware of all this, has now the objective of trying to maintain a state in Western Ukraine. Okay, I know they sit out and they say that they're going to take all of their territory back and stuff. Okay, but I finally got a hold of a guy who's in Ukrainian territory now. I talked with him. Okay, and he's saying that no, they know that they have to do everything they can to keep some piece of Ukraine if they want to avoid the gallows. Okay. They are in sync with NATO, flooding NATO troops into Western Ukraine to save them from the Russians. The most critical issue is trying to have an outlet on the Black Sea. Odessa is the most important part of that. NATO troops will invade across the Romanian border into Ukraine south of Odessa, while Ukrainian troops secure it from the north. Consequently, Ukraine is now trying to disrupt Russian plans by concentrating its efforts on the Kherson front. They are losing Bakhmut, and they know it. At this point, Ukrainian troops standing in reserve behind Bakhmut are refusing to move forward. They are striking right now. All along the Eastern Front, Ukrainian troops are refusing to attack because it just means their deaths. Morale is so low that Ukrainian soldiers are both surrendering as soon as possible to save their lives, but even more are defecting to the Russian side to fight for the liberation of their homeland from the Zelensky regime.
Big story. Big story. We're not hearing anything about it. That's a big one.
The Russians are forming Ukrainian battalions to fight in the upcoming offensive.
Wow.
So the purpose of the military leaks that Mr. Jack Teixeira allegedly leaked, okay, was to start changing the narrative to give the Biden regime an out. This does not necessarily fix anything. If Ukraine falls, Taiwan falls because the Department of Defense has already admitted that if China invades Taiwan, America will not be able to resupply them. And if the U.S. dollar falls, then the Biden regime will stage a space alien invasion to create a crisis that will allow him to hang on to power. He will murder many Americans and other friendly peoples to make this happen. If your government declares an emergency, just know that everything they say is a lie. Just like everything they tell us now is a lie. Mm-hmm. They will not be space aliens. They will be woke invaders. Okay.
Yeah. Here's one thing.
Yes.
We know we always say Biden. That's just the way we do it. Mm-hmm. But it's really Obama. And Valerie Jarrett and Susan Rice. Well, a story out today, if I could find it, Susan Rice announced that she is resigning her position working within the Biden White House. So she's out. Now, here it is. Susan Rice leaving Biden White House. So she's told Barry that I'm done and I'm out of there. Or they're getting ready to dump Biden and move RFK in there because they control RFK Jr., like they control a yo-yo on a string. He'll do whatever he's told. He's not going in there like John F. Kennedy or Bobby Kennedy would have. He's a controlled piece of political turf, and they're going to use him. So Susan Rice is backing out of her job. Maybe that's a sign. Maybe that's a sign. I don't know.
Last week, a Canadian and two American Special Forces trainers in Ukraine went public with the state of the Ukrainian forces. They complained about the following. 1, a chaotic military command structure. 2, the command structure is in disarray. You cannot even win a battle without unity of command, which they do not have.
Mm-hmm.
3, military communications are crumbling and are chaotic and confusing. 4, junior officers are killed at an unsustainable rate. Officers are killed faster than they can be trained. 5, lack of coordination between Ukrainian units, leading to greater loss of life and equipment, as well as failed operations. 6, military equipment is being misused. For example, tanks are used as artillery instead of being used properly in combined arms operations with infantry. As a professional tank officer, I can tell you that tanks can be used as artillery, but it is wasteful to do so. We would only do it if it was somehow beneficial in at least a small way. Okay, and that's because the high explosive rounds are just not very big. Okay, tanks should always be used in combined operations with infantry and mechanized infantry. The artillery support for an attack cannot be supplied by tanks because the high explosive rounds are not sufficiently powerful. You need to be able to mass artillery and put forth massive and violent preparatory fires to support the attack. Since troops and armor have to attack in the open, it is critical for the attack to suppress the defending forces with artillery fires so that you minimize the fire from enemy weapons on the attacking force. Attacking without sufficient artillery fires means grave losses and defeat. 7, Ukraine's training approach is based on legacy Soviet methods, which puts the commander at the center with no delegation of authority in training, planning, and especially operations. Let me explain why this is important. First of all, a battalion is about 800 men. The battalion commander has an executive officer to run a staff to prepare, plan, and execute operations, with staff officers to handle all of the intricacies of administration, intelligence, and logistics. A commander that has to do all that by himself simply cannot handle all that information and respond to it appropriately. Second of all, you must delegate authority as far down as you can. We learned this from the German army. You want as many men as possible to take advantage of any openings on the battlefield that you can exploit. This is taking the initiative. Ideally, you want even a team leader of five men, that's a sergeant, to be able to take the initiative and exploit any advantages on the battlefield. The U.S. Army and the British Army adopted this model to great effect. This is a combat multiplier that the Ukrainians simply do not have. And eight, slow decision-making on the battlefield. This means lost opportunity and defeat. And that's because they don't utilize their staff. So that's why there's slow decision-making, is because one guy's got to do it all. He does the work of, like, what about 20 to 30 people should be doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so keep in mind that American combat training of foreign armies has not really been successful. For example, 12 years of training of the Army of the Republic of Vietnam created an army that quickly crumbled before the invading North Vietnamese. We trained the Iraqi army for 8 years just to see them crumble upon confronting ISIS. We trained the Afghan army for 20 years only to see it dissolve even before we left. Why would we expect it to be any better now under such poor military leadership that we have now, or should I say lack of any leadership in the woke DEI U.S. military? They're more worried about your pronouns than winning a war.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know.
So,
sickening.
By the way, it must be hard. Oh, go ahead.
It is important to note what I said earlier, that the armed forces of the Ukraine, AFU, is essentially almost all white Christian males with some females in there. But they're Christians. They're Western thinking. They're, you know, Orthodox Christians, but that's who they are. And the Zionists are getting rid of them, getting rid by the hundreds of thousands. So you say these people are defecting to the Russians, and they're immediately agreeing to go to work with the Russian military to turn and try to liberate their country from whom? From the Zionists. That's what they're doing. And that's why these people are being killed off. I believe it. So there can be no uprising against the Zionist regime.
Well, I would like the audience to keep in mind that what's going on in Ukraine, that if the United States goes to war, we have a great emergency, we're going to do the same thing Ukraine's doing. They're going to be selling your wives and your daughters into prostitution. They're going to be taking your boys to sell to pedophiles. They're going to be sending them off to the front line. They're going to close churches down. They're going to do everything. If you say anything that's out of line, they'll just kill you on the spot or something. They do that in Ukraine. They say it's a crime, but if they catch you, they'll just kill you. So I don't know. It's like we need to pay attention. We're paying for this in Ukraine, and the information is out there about what's actually going on there, and we're paying for that. So you know what? What goes around comes around. We can expect that kind of treatment ourselves if this administration declares enough of emergency to put the foot down and make it happen. Okay. So it must be heartening for the Russians, who see us on the threshold of nuclear war, to see the Democrats in Congress put forth a bill that restricts the president from firing nuclear weapons. Congress must authorize the release of nuclear weapons. This violates the principle of war called unity of command, where it is imperative in war to have just one person in control, responsible, and with the authority. Okay? No war has ever been won by committee, and a committee is what Congress is. It is too slow, does not allow taking the initiative, and gives our opponent time to attack our first strike capabilities. This means Russia will win a nuclear war against us because they will have a great advantage and reaction time. What will Russia do with that reaction time? Well, Russia last week attacked the Ukrainian headquarters in a bunker 600 feet underground. Their bunker buster missile penetrated all that and detonated inside the bunker. We have nothing that will do that, nothing. And that missile makes all of our ICBMs vulnerable in their silos. They may be able to get most of them, blow most of them up before they can even launch.
Well, it said that, remember, our last Minuteman III, the newest one, the last one made, was made in the early 1970s. They're 50 years old, Mitch. And it's said by some that maybe half of them would successfully lift off out of their silos. They're old.
Right. And how many will actually detonate? Because you have to remember that, that
so
plutonium and uranium have a short half-life. So the radioactivity of the warhead is not going to be up to snuff, you know. So it would take out all of the bunkers under the White House. Only Cheyenne Mountain is deep enough to protect from such a missile. Okay. But they can hit the entrance and bring the mountain down on them. So, So Senator Ed Markey and Ted Lieu.
They have a tunnel boring machine in there put away somewhere. They probably do, so they can drill their way out.
Well, that would be prudent. So Senator Ed Markey and Ted Lieu said, quote, passed this Restricting First Use of Nuclear Weapons Act. And they said it would prohibit any U.S. president from unilaterally launching a nuclear strike without prior authorization of Congress. They said that in 1969, a drunk President Nixon ordered a nuclear attack in response to an American aircraft being shot down off the coast of North Korea. This story is not true. Nixon did not issue such an order. You see how woke politicians create false narratives to justify policies that will get us killed and destroy our nation. So, let me cover some other things. This is how are we doing on the international front, okay? So last week on Monday...
Mitch, go ahead. When you say how are we doing... It's understood you're talking about the United States on the world stage. How are we doing? But we no longer have a government.
We have been
overthrown.
And it doesn't represent us or obey
us.
Not at all. Yeah.
So in a way, it's not the American people. And I think the world knows that, and much of the world does feel sorry for the American people. But that's not going to stop a nuclear exchange. These people are not going to give up control of this country. The evil ones, they have firm control of America right now, and it's becoming more and more profound all the time. That's my estimate. That's what I see. Everywhere you look, this whole LGBTQ, then the drag queens, and now the trannies, it never should have gained traction in this society.
No.
Never. And look at the trannies. We have a tranny story today who says he's going to begin to shoot Christian women and kill them. They're dangerous, as you well know. These are hate-driven lunatics. Bad news.
Oh, yes. They're obsession. They have an obsession. They're obsessional people. So it's very easy for them to go off on tangents.
Exactly.
So last week, South Korea announced that it would send 500,000 artillery rounds to Ukraine. A victory for the United States. On Tuesday, Russia announced that if South Korea sends military aid to Ukraine, Russia will provide North Korea with its most technologically advanced weapons. On Wednesday, South Korea announced that it will not send military munitions to Ukraine.
I thought they were going to send them here to us to replenish some of our empty warehouses that we used to have.
They were going to turn them over to us, and we were going to ship them off to Ukraine, because we would rather have the new stuff than old stuff that's been sitting around. So that's sort of like how much power America has in the world with their own allies now. Russia is much more persuasive than we are. So in the Sudan, the U.S. ambassador arrived in November 2022 and said that the Sudan will not approve a Russian naval base at Port Sudan, and Russia will not do business in Sudan. Between January and March in 2023, Sudan approved the Russian naval base on the Red Sea and gave Russian oil companies the contract to refurbish and operate their petroleum fields. Several years ago, the long-term dictator of Sudan was overthrown by the Sudanese army and the Rapid Response Force. The army commander, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, is the president. His second-in-command is the Rapid Deployment Force commander, General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo. The U.S. State Department and CIA encouraged and bankrolled General Dagalo to overthrow the government so he could be America's puppet and stop the deals with Russia. Yesterday, U.S. forces had to evacuate the enemy embassy staff, but abandoned 30,000 American citizens in Sudan where there is no water, no electricity, no food.
30,000 trapped.
30,000.
30,000.
And no food, and the fighting is intensifying. An American has died already, as well as 500 other civilians have perished. Okay. So, listen, I got to tell you, people actually reached out to me to tell me this. Okay. So, the man that the U.S. has backed is a head of the RSF, which is actually the Janjaweed that committed the genocide in Darfur province that the Obama administration had labeled as genociders of black people and terrorists. Okay. So the immorality of the Biden regime has no boundaries. The last thing they want you to know is that the RSS is the Janjaweed. They were America's hated enemy at one point for their murderous rampages. Right. So last week, I want to mention that we left 30,000 behind. Tony Blinken said they're working on getting them out. In September 2021, Blinken said they were working on getting all the abandoned Americans out of Afghanistan, and they have not lifted a finger or done a thing since then. So they will abandon you. If you're not one of them, they don't care about you. Because remember, they don't represent you. They don't care about you. You're on your own, okay? So last week, the U.S. even engineered the murder of 30 Syrian farmers, allegedly by ISIS. They did this because peace is breaking out in the Middle East since Biden decided to punish Saudi Arabia for murdering a journalist. Keep in mind that Ukraine has now murdered two Russian journalists in terrorist attacks on Russian soil. The rest of the world is clear on American hypocrisy. It's us that we're uninformed, okay? With the war in Yemen over, Iran and Saudi Arabia restarting relations, and Syria and Turkey talking again, soon America will have no excuse for their illegal occupation of a foreign state's territory. They need an ISIS atrocity to justify staying, so they made it happen. Okay.
Good point. Yep.
So the woke Zionist Biden regime wants to stop getting information, wants us to stop getting information just like Zelensky does. Tucker Carlson broke the stories of the CIA assassinating a duly elected sitting president of the United States, the government actively suppressing freedom of speech in the Twitter files, and Hunter Biden's disgusting and shameful behavior and corruption. Now Fox fired him and Don Bongino. Actually, I think Don Bongino left on his own last week. So nobody went to jail for any of this, but Congresswoman Stacey Plaskett wants Matt Taibbi thrown in jail for his work on the Twitter files. She was the one who called him a so-called journalist. He's a very, very well-credentialed, well-respected journalist. Okay, I used to read him on his economic issues because he writes very good and very clear on economic issues. So Taibbi just confused CIS with CISA, and they want him jailed for 5 years. It is a fact that both Merrick Garland and Hunter Biden lied under oath, but they will never be charged. It is not our country anymore. It is a satanic Marxist state now, and we are subjects, not citizens. What is next is the mark of the beast, so you can show your fealty to Satan just to live a normal life. Okay, I will tell you now that Hunter Biden will never be arrested. There is no justice in America. The justice system is rigged like the voting system. This is meant to shut you up. They will arrest and convict you unconstitutionally, arbitrarily, and capriciously if you cross them. You have zero chance of getting a fair trial in America if you are a white person. It is not going to happen. I mean, they're throwing people in jail, like in Texas even, in Austin, Texas. They threw an Army guy in jail, Lyft driver in jail, because he shot somebody pointing an AK-47 at him. And it was clearly self-defense, and he was convicted in a court. American people, that is, fellow American jurors, will be the ones who throw you in the slammer and take all your stuff from you.
I'm afraid you're right, and you can't repeat that enough. Americans are being turned and taught to turn on each other. This country has been so fragmented and so polarized now, there's no going back. None. It's over. It's done. You got a red state, you got a blue state. You better find a red state to go to unless you can somehow survive in a blue state. I don't see it.
I don't think there'll be red states for too much longer. They just
probably
are
not.
A few rigged
probably
elections not. Away from that, you know.
And I tell people, you're in Idaho, for example. You got a governor. He's our governor's a little bit liberal. I said, one rigged election, and you've got a communist in your state house. It's that simple.
Right.
That's all it'll take.
Yes, I think so. So you know, just look at this. It's like the if you think about it, the only major media company that Americans could watch and get a little bit of truth was out of Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson was Fox News. With him gone, what's the point of watching Fox News anymore?
There's none. They lost almost $1 billion in stock market valuation on Fox stock today already.
Yeah.
And there'll be more. There's more to this than we're seeing yet. I don't know what it is, but Tucker, with that mea culpa of his saying, I didn't know all these years I was representing the wrong side, and all that. Bullshit. He knew. Mm-hmm. So these people are players. They run the narrative. They deliver the narrative. They control the narrative. So what's happening? If this was a free market and I was running CNN, for example, I would give Tucker a blank check, bring him over and say, we are a balanced network. Here's the proof, and put him on the same time that Fox had him, and they would crawl out of the gutter. But then that's not going to happen. Nothing will happen unless the controllers and the elite dictate it. It's simple that nothing is left to chance. What happened today was planned, I don't know how long ago, but that suit by, you saw the suit by the,
yeah.
Tucker has producers. One of his producers, apparently, a lady named Amy Grossberg, filed a suit today against Tucker, against Fox, and against some of his other producers, claiming gender discrimination, religion discrimination, disability, bullying, and gaslighting. So it's crazy. Anyway, it's all organized, all of it. None of it happens by chance. Go ahead.
Well, you have to understand that what the government wants, what they do not want, they do not want anybody to know the truth. They don't want anybody to look for the truth. What they want you to do is they want you to just blindly accept their narrative of everything. And their narrative includes it's okay to be gay. It's okay to be a tranny. It's okay to molest kids. That is their message.
And that's getting more, I swear to God, Mitch, I cannot believe the traction that is getting. And how is it getting it? It's getting it in the controlled media. The controlled media is giving it traction. Otherwise, it wouldn't go anywhere. But it's getting traction. Because the media is reality for most people. Remember that. They look at that screen, they think that that's their reality.
And you have to remember that most people, the vast majority of people, have just taken this for granted that it's all true and accurate. The government would not lie. You know, it's a long time ago that I started finding out that the government does lie, and a long time ago the government did not get in trouble for lying. No. I'll just give you a quick example. I arrested this prostitute once, so when I showed up in court, there were two FBI agents standing with her. And when they called the case, the FBI agent stood up and asked the judge, hey, can we get the charges dropped on her because we want to use her as an informant, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what they did not know is this judge and me knew each other well. He had heard my cases. I'd been in court so much. He knew me quite well, and he had the general impression that I was accurate and true, and that's because I would never lie in court. Okay, you can lie to the criminals, but don't lie to the judge. Okay, that's a felony. It's 5 years in prison. So the judge looked at me and said, "Well, Officer Henderson, did these FBI agents talk to you?" And I said, "Well, Your Honor, nobody called me, nobody wrote me, nobody talked to me in person about any of this. I have heard nothing, and I've never even seen these men before. So I don't know what they're saying that they talked to me. They've never talked to me." And, see, this was a big problem. So right there in court in front of God and everybody, the FBI lied to the judge.
Yeah, they're really good at it, aren't they? They do it all the time.
And so So the judge didn't hold them accountable. He just said, well, go ahead with the prosecution. And then he found the girl guilty and stuff. And he told the FBI agent, when she gets out of jail, you can pick up your investigation, whatever. So what did the FBI do? The FBI is extremely petty and vindictive. They spent a year trying to get me fired from the police department. They did everything they could to get me fired. Wow. It was they got close, but not quite. Okay, their problem was is that the complaint that they went to the police department about with me about they lied about the complaint. And the thing that they lied about happened in a different court, okay? And there was a court transcript. Well, the FBI didn't even, before the FBI made the accusations against me to the police department, they did not even look at the trial record. Well, the internal affairs detective, well, that's his job, he did look at it. And he said, yeah, this is nonsense. You did not do this. So, and it was there in the court documents that I did not do it. So, This is just an example. This is like, I think this is 1984 that they did this to me.
Wow.
Okay. So what do you think it is like now? Now, 40 years later, what do you think it's like? They're on the rampage. They never got held accountable for any of their dirty dealings.
No.
You know, never held accountable for lying. Lying in court. Perjury. Not held accountable. That's a felony.
Not for them. It's not perjury.
No.
This whole thing is so bad now, Mitch. It's just indescribably bad.
Well, yes, it is. And I mean, the job of federal agents is not to obey the law. Their job is just to enforce it, not to obey it. So no rules apply to them. It only applies to you.
Well said. Well said. Exactly.
So.
Yeah. No.
We were even looking today. I mean, the United States is really losing the sanctions war. I mean, it's de-dollarization is happening all across the world. I saw, I think yesterday or today, Indonesia finally decided they're not going to use dollars in trade, and they are going to scrap Visa and MasterCard. They're not going to accept it anymore. Malaysia, I think, is not going to accept it anymore. Lots of countries are no longer going to accept Visa or MasterCard.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the American financial system is headed for the rocks. It's a shipwreck. And like I said last time, for every dollar circulating in the United States, there's $1,000 circulating overseas. When all that money comes home, when it's all here, your dollar won't be worth a dollar. It'll be worth one-one-thousandth of a dollar.
It'll
be worth nothing. Your credit cards, they may still be used here in the United States, but if you're traveling overseas, they ain't going to be any good anymore. Well, and what it is, and every nation, they are very clear in saying this. They don't want to deal in dollars because the United States puts so many strings to it. They will refuse to pay you. They will sanction you. They will do all these things. And if you have your money in dollar accounts, they'll even take that money from you. Okay, not just if you're the Russian country, but if you're a Russian citizen that has an American bank account, they will steal your money from you because you're a Russian, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you think the world looks at that? The world looks like we sanction our own ally, Turkey, because they bought S-300 anti-aircraft missiles. And the point is Turkey wanted effective anti-aircraft missiles. They didn't want our junk. They wanted something that definitely worked, okay? And so they took the sanctions so that they could get the better weapon, okay? And the whole world knows that we sanctioned our own ally, okay, over a business deal, okay? We do that to so many people. We do that to so many countries and stuff. I mean, China, you know, all these rich Chinese people, well, what do they like to do? They like to put their money in foreign bank accounts because, well, in case they have to flee from China, okay? So after the Swiss bank accounts, Switzerland makes 10% of its income from that. They took all the Russian people, citizens, not governments, Russian citizens. They seized all their money, confiscated it. Okay, so all these Chinese that were going over to open Swiss bank accounts said, wait a minute. You know, the next war is going to be between Europe and China, and are we going to lose all our money? So this is not a good place to put it. In other words, the West is just not a safe place. It's not a safe place for your money. It's not even a safe place for you to be in. Okay?
No,
so... We just have to look at that. So the way this is going, and this is important for people to realize, because, you know, I've been saying, hey, any little mistake and there could be a nuclear war and stuff, okay? But now we're over 1 year out, and there is success on the Russian side, and that success is in the sanctions war, in the economic war against the United States. Notice that Europe and the United States, our economy is faltering. We have high inflation. We just have all bank failures and stuff like that. And what about Russia and China? Their economies are growing. They're doing just fine. Okay. The BRICS countries are doing fine. It's the West, America and Europe, that is not doing fine. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what the Russians see is that this sanctions war and just the failure of the military in the Ukraine could change the situation where there's no attempt at doing something that will create a nuclear war. In other words, the United States may think twice about flooding Western Ukraine with NATO troops. Okay, they may not do that, and Ukraine is actually afraid of this because they notice that the Biden administration keeps doing things to distance themselves from Ukraine. For example, these military leaks is all about an out for the United States from Ukraine. That was the purpose of the leak, to give us an out, because we went in, we told Ukraine that they cannot negotiate. And, of course, they're going to obey because the president of Ukraine is Joseph Biden. Okay? He's the real president of Ukraine. So, and Ukrainians are waking up to this. The Ukrainians are suffering miserably. But you know what? Enough time has passed by that they know who the author of their sorrows are. And in talking the other day to people in Ukraine, the author of the Ukrainian people's sorrows is the United States of America. That's who's the author of their troubles. And they know it. They know that Russia's the good guys and Zelensky is the bad guy. And that's why they will easily run over to the Russian side and they'll fight for them. Okay, to actually liberate their country.
This is a big story that somebody needs to pick up on. You have, and hopefully someone on a larger platform, but it's probably being quashed. They don't want it out there. No, that's very interesting.
Well, I start thinking that I could be next because, I was noticing that I would give a report, and within a week or two, I would see it on Tucker Carlson. He'd be saying the same thing.
Mitchell, they listen. They all listen to this program. Not everyone.
Oh, I know. I've been hearing clicks. I'm hearing clicks right now.
I am, too.
So there's no doubt in my mind that they're listening.
Right. Oh,
maybe they'll finally be able to get even with me for that perjury in court thing that they wanted to get me for.
That's really too much. That was sickening. But they do. There's something that has happened to the FBI. It is not remotely what it used to be. It's gone. It's like almost a militia for the Bolsheviks. It's bizarre.
Well, it's the KGB of the Democratic Party.
There you go.
You can tell it is because, you know, up in congressional speeches and stuff or testimony, when they're asking the FBI, Department of Justice, things, they never answer anything. They catch them cold in lies. They catch them cold doing the wrong thing, and they can name names of the person who did the bad thing, and those people will never suffer any consequences. If they're a Republican, they definitely would would suffer consequences. But being a Democrat, no, ain't going to happen. As a matter of fact, I've gotten to where when I look at news feeds, if I say, if the headline says, Hunter Biden is in big trouble and stuff, I don't even read it. I just think, okay,
no,
yeah, nothing's going to happen to him.
Tabloid garbage.
Yeah,
tabloid
nothing
trash.
Will happen to him. Yeah.
No, not a chance. I agree.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, they even caught them lying in the cover-up of the Hunter Biden laptop and stuff. I mean, these people, they can... I don't know why they even bother covering up. Why don't they just do the bad thing and say, yeah, live with it, you know? Because nothing happens to them, you know? I mean, it's like... I don't want to say nothing happens to them, because you know what? If you're that evil, something bad is going to happen in your life. It's you're going to have trouble. You can't live a life like that and be free from trouble, you know?
No. Evil. That this planet, God, I don't know what's going to happen to it, but bad days are ahead, and they're bad enough now. I think we all can see that. Don't discount those Deagle numbers either. They may work.
Well, what I'm thinking is I'm wondering how much abuse do the American people have to take before they'll do anything? I mean, American people won't even boycott something.
Mitch, they're doing nothing.
Nothing. They're watching TV. They're being entertained is what they're doing.
That's their reality. That's right.
Right.
That is their reality.
I mean, look. If you look at it, let's just take it. Just one example, okay? So we all know, and it's well documented, that Lloyd Austin, on his first days in office, he launched diversity, equity, and inclusion as an official Department of Defense way of both hiring people and promoting people. Okay. Now they're doing this. I don't even see any Republican congressmen bringing this point up. But if you read the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, it states clearly that you cannot use race, religion, things like that, to either promote or hire someone. You can't do that. That was the law of the land for, you know, half a century. And now, with that book, that 14th Amendment on the books, they are just doing it. And you have, the American people have to understand this. We think, we sit around and talk and we say, well, they'll never be able to take our guns away from us because we have the Second Amendment. But you have to understand the way they do it is they keep harping on gun violence. Okay, as if guns do the violence.
Buzzwords.
Yeah,
no, the guns are inanimate objects with brains, and they do violence. They're violent. They're crazy.
I know.
So guns
I started
need,
locking
guns
my guns in a
yeah.
safe because I'm worried that they might come out at night while I'm sleeping and shoot me.
Yeah,
you know?
You better be.
So this is how absurd it is. But what they do is they just come up with these catchphrases like, we have to ban assault weapons. We have to do it. Now, there doesn't need to be an explanation. They don't have to go into the legal intricacies of it, because if they just keep saying the only solution is to ban assault weapons, then what's going to happen is one day they will abandon, they will ban them. They will eviscerate the Second Amendment, which says, shall not be infringed, and all those are infringements. Every gun law in the book is an infringement, and they're going to ignore that thing. They're going to say, "Oh yeah, I have the right to bear arms, but you got to hand them over. You can't have them. You can't actually have them." So what's going to happen? I look at this, Jeff. I look at the American people have not boycotted. Well, they boycotted Bush beer, but that's a different thing. Okay, but they will not boycott. They will not protest. They will not do anything when their children are being in third grade taught the joys of anal sex. They're okay with that. When their children are 5 years old and they're going to drag queen story hour and learn to be groomed into the LGBT lifestyle, okay, when we have a massive amount of public education teachers that are LGBT teachers, and they are teaching this to our kids, whether we like it or not. Even if the school board tells them not to, they stand up defiantly and say they still will. Okay, so it just becomes a fact. They through the narrative, they make it a fact. So they'll make it a fact that you can hire and you can promote based on race. They've made that a fact already. Okay, so the guns, that will be a fact. They're just, you won't be allowed to have guns. And I hear people say, well, if they come for my guns, I'll shoot them. No, when they come for your guns, you'll hand them in. You'll hand them in because if you can't protect your children, you are not going to protect your guns. I'll tell you that right now. You won't.
That's a very profoundly important observation, and I'm not going to disagree one bit with it. You're right. We've lost it. We've lost it. Americans are no longer Americans anymore. They're like a bowl of Jell-O. Not good. Mitchell, that was really an extraordinary report. Thank you for that. Talk to you next week. Let's see what happens. What are your? We're real quick. Right now, the chances of a nuclear exchange. What do you make them? Right now.
I would put the telling time will be the end of May, the beginning of June. It's see what happens when Russia goes on the offensive. Because remember, gotcha. Russia is worried. They're fighting an existential fight. If they think that there's any chance they might lose, they're going to push the button. That's just all there is to it.
I wouldn't blame them either, to be frank.
No.
I wouldn't. All right. Thank
they're
you.
They're ready
Mitch.
To do it.
Take care.
You will.
Yeah, be safe.
Bye-bye.
Mitchell Henderson, another really great overview. Nowhere else you're going to hear something like this. Okay, we thank you for being here tonight. It's Monday, now Tuesday in most places. We will be back in 21 hours. Talk to you then. Goodness knows what will happen between now and then. But remember, when you're watching the television, and we all look at television, internet, TV, be careful when you see people talking, so-called experts, even if they have letters behind their name. Be careful. Just be careful. RFK Jr., his announcement speech. Who was in the audience? Bob Malone and Steve Kirsch. Think about that. And I think most of you can connect the dots. Back tomorrow night. Talk to you then.